Tuesday, April 21st, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in Matthew chapter 23, starting at verse 1 with part 2 of yesterday's message titled, Seven Woes on False Religion.
Respond to him in faith and thank him that he cares this much for you. You ever stop and think how good he's been to you? Where do you even begin to count all those blessings of his goodness? Here it is today. He has said, when you believe him and trust him and come to him in true faith, depending and believing the gospel, you are saved.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
I was reading one author said something interesting about this that just struck me, that we never think about. But he said this: one of the things that I've learned from being in Cambridge is that intelligence and a good education does not help people to know how to live better. Life is a struggle, no less a struggle for the well-trained than it is for those with fewer formal qualifications. This difficulty of living it, living what we preach, is a difficulty across the board. Tassels don't make it easier. Now, they would then sit in the seat. They would expound Moses. It's important. There's a reason John would say the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus says, observe what they say, but do not do what they do. What do? They preach, and Jesus wants to spotlight how we know they're false. And here's the first theme: corrupted mission. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, and they themselves don't do what they require. There you go. What we've seen is that Jesus was very concerned the whole way through with the mission and the message that was going out, and here is what had become false religion in Israel, and here's the hallmark of it. There was a reason Jesus held out his arms. Now, you should feel the effect of this when he held out his arms and he said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your weary souls. Your souls are weary, for my burden is easy and my yoke is light. That has a huge backdrop and context to it. We've been studying this in Matthew. They finally and scrupulously dissected the law. And then they built an entire tradition over the law, a fence around the law, and super added to the law, and these became heavy yokes that they laid on the people. Now, I want you to notice at the heart of the concern here is what religion becomes. This is what false religion does. It builds a ministry making it seem that God is a God that is just concerned with doing all that we can to be right with him by more and more scrupulous observance. And what does that really say about those who brought a ministry like that? It's about them. It's about power. It's about control. You know this. There are certain people who are just sort of authoritarians. And take a leader. What is the goal of a leader for you? What should be the goal of the ministry for you? The goal is to set you free. To set you free. Or is that goal to control you through observance? I want to say this doesn't abrogate the law of God. Jesus is not throwing out the law of God. That's how some people would like to hear this. The question that Jesus is concerned about is where the ministry was leading people. And the first three woes build on this corrupted mission. A woe is a deep lament. It is a wailing judgment on people. And he gives seven of them here. Now think of corrupted mission in this regard. Verse 13, "For you shut up the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourselves, nor you allow those who would enter to go in." Well, Jesus gave the keys of the kingdom. We've always struggled with discipline. You ever thought about what discipline's trying to accomplish in the life of the church? Bringing people back in. Think of our Heidelberg on this point. How is the kingdom of heaven opened and shut by the preaching of the holy gospel? When, according to the command of Christ, it's declared and publicly testified to all that every believer, whenever, now notice what we're proclaiming, whenever they receive the promise of the gospel by true faith. Listen to what we're announcing. All your sins are really forgiven by God. We want that for you. I want that for everyone sitting in this room today. For the sake of Christ's merits, on the contrary, when it is declared and testified to all unbelievers and such as do not sincerely repent, that they stand exposed to the wrath of God and eternal condemnation, so long as they are unconverted, according to which testimony of the gospel, God will judge them, both in this and in the life of the come. The whole ministry is trying to prevent that. That's a true heart of a servant. We don't want that. Their ministry had no aim for this. Here's the true key of a false religion. They actually stand in the way of opening the kingdom of heaven to people. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus described the false teachers as standing in front of the wide gate and leading people into it? Perfect examples, like maybe we could think about the Sabbath. It was a day meant to rest and worship, and we give the sincere call. You most certainly should honor the fourth commandment. And why do we want that honored? Well, it glorifies God, but it's good for you. You're worshiping God. You're receiving the means of grace. You're receiving the sacrament. You're receiving help. You're receiving the opening of the kingdom through the preaching of the gospel. Well, remember what they did. They said things like, well, if you walk a certain amount of steps, you're a Sabbath breaker, and if you spit on the ground, as long as it doesn't roll, you're okay because you haven't plowed. We laugh at that. I do too. But people think these are teachers sent by God. You see? And you have to think about what giving the conception that God is just a heavy-handed tyrant who's ready to strike your every move, what that does to people. It shuts them out. And that leads in progression to the next woe. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. You travel land and sea to make a single proselyte, and you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. What he's saying is, these guys had great evangelistic zeal. They'll travel land and sea to go get a proselyte. They'll go get someone. The fruit of it was this, the kind of converts they produced. They were worse than them. It's chain reaction. False teachers actually create a chain of worse disciples than themselves, full of hypocrisy. The fruits are terrible. And the third woe demonstrates this too. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, if anyone swears by the temple, it's nothing, but if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he's bound by an oath. You blind fools, who is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? He gives a similar example here with the altar. What he's saying is this. They are lawless in their teaching of the law. They always find a way out to not keep it. to avoid the clear teachings of the law. They're the true antinomians, the legalists. Woe to those 1,000 times over who do not preach the gospel of the remission of sins, you could say, or honor the law themselves in their lives. And the point is, these three woes capture how they shut up the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus is thundering judgment on that. Why? I'll close with that. Second major emphasis is a hypocritical life. Their whole religion was done for them to be seen as great. Remember verse 11? I don't want my disciples. That's not your pursuit. Verse 5, they do all their deeds to be seen by others. There's the thematic statement. And Jesus says they wear long robes and they have phylacteries. And these phylacteries are huge. And he says in verse 6, they love the places of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues. And when they walked on the street, they loved everyone to say, wow, you are so great. I think we know this well. A whole different kind of religion is being described here. That's what you have to see. It's what I said earlier. It's the kind of religion that's completely phony. It's all about appearance. And the second series of woes zero in on this, don't they? Second three woes. Verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, but have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Blind guides, you strain out gnats and swallow camels. That is a great line. What he is saying is, their life was lived in such scrupulous observance of the minutiae. They always focused on that. But they had no ability to distinguish between weightier matters. Justice, mercy in people's lives, faithfulness to God. That's a warped religion that could say, tithe this, give this, do this, and show no mercy to people. They found a way out of the fifth commandment, remember in Matthew 15, that when they were supposed to, commanded to help their parents, they would say, oh no, it's a gift devoted to God. We don't have to help them. See, it's that kind of stuff. And the fifth woe is all about self-indulgence. Verse 25, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you clean the outside of the cup and plate, but inside you're full of greed and indulgence. Jesus says, clean the inside. In other words, what good is a religion that puts on a show for everyone to see? What good is that? And then lives a total lie, completely contrary to what you've presented on the outside. Right? The sixth woe follows. Your whitewashed tombs, outwardly appearing beautiful, but within you you're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So you appear righteous, but within you you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. That's the height of it, whitewashed tombs. You look good, you look holy, but you're dead on the inside. All kinds of sins you're living in, you're serving. Lawlessness just characterizes life. And now you can relate to this. How many people think today, beloved, that religion is just about maintaining an appearance? Right? We know this problem. That you can have a religion where you go to church and you talk nice and you be nice and you make sure people think you're a good person and that you're serving in some way so that people see that and think you're really devoted. You dress well so that people think you have it together. But is it not a fair question to ask, is that true on the inside? If you could be an entirely different person, you may put on the Sunday show, but at home, you're a jerk to those you love, you live in sin, you're dishonest in your work, you're caught in something that if people knew, you'd be done. And so on and on and on. You see what Jesus is going after, right? You see why this is so necessary because of the whole history of problems of this. And I ask this, imagine if this is what the ministry became. What if we had nothing of Jesus on this? And this is what ministry became. See what he's guarding? I mean, I just saw last week that the great writer who wrote, I don't know how many books and made how many millions, Philip Yancey, was caught and confessed to, as he was writing all these books, an 8-year affair. 8 years? Yeah, Jesus expects pastors to practice what they preach, and they do that by his mercies. But scandal after scandal, we're acting so shocked by it all today, and I want to say this, it's not the ministry's fault. It's not that every pastor's like this, but there is a fundamental difference between Jesus going after an external righteousness devoid of a genuine regenerated heart. You see? What I'm describing here, beloved, is not you struggling against sin. You understand that? I'm not describing even you stumbling into sin. What I'm describing is a complete outward show of religion when nothing is genuine on the inside. There's been no repentance or faith. That's what this is describing. And the evidence of this, listen, it's a ministry that doesn't take serious leading people to repentance. And a ministry that seeks to control people to keep them under their control. And that's the final emphasis today. Verse 8, I don't want you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. Call no man on earth your father. You have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructor, right? For you have one, the Christ. He says these things. Don't call people your teacher. There's one. That's me. I'm the only mediator, is what he's saying, between God and man. And that reserves the last woe. That's offset. That is a giant, what we call chiasm. It says here, they join in the long train of those who martyred all the prophets. And they would continue to do so. That these teachers exalted themselves in the place of God, that's the whole theme of Antichrist activity, to receive the glory that is his, and they hated those who preached truth. They hated those who brought the message of the truth, who were genuine, so they put them out because that light and darkness collided. And they wanted their glory to shine. And you'll notice at the middle of this last section, Jesus says, they're serpents. They're serving the serpent. Woe to you, brood of vipers. Now, I want to return to my initial thought to close this out today. Jesus had no time for this. The problem is, beloved, as I've said through the whole series, it's the religion of a natural man's heart that he's going after, and this is the best it produces. That's what we see in Israel. And what Jesus is after in his kingdom are servants who humble themselves and serve you in the gospel. He wants a ministry in place for you. So this is the beauty of this today. I know it's a heavy passage. He didn't expect this today. But it's important. He wants a ministry for you so that you and your children would be led to eternal life and that heaven would be open to you. You see that? See what he's after? See why he's rendering a righteous judgment on this? The whole section here is the precursor to the religion that Jesus is announcing in judgment, the religion that Jesus would tear down. And today it's a reminder to us, why are we doing this? Well, it's because you, beloved, need Jesus as a savior. And he's willing to go to bat and remove anything that stands in the way of that for you. He loves you that much. See this? He knows your sheep. He knows you need the good shepherd. And the ministry is designed to turn your hearts to him, that you might come to him, that he will wash you and cleanse you and give you new hearts. That's what he wants for you. That's the ministry he desires for you. That's why he came, and he cares a whole lot that you would be reconciled with God and have peace. He cares this much to fight off all wolves and to send you servants who care to bring you to the feet of the Savior. There's the test. Those who comes, he said, I will by no means cast out any who come to me. What a promise. And you see the heart today of Jesus as this passage closes out. As he looks over Jerusalem and he weeps over it. How long I long to gather you together. As a hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing. So your house is left to you desolate. You see, he's weeping over this. He's weeping over this. And I suppose to say in closing, there's the character of a true prophet. Oh yeah, we can point out lots of wrongs and lots of evil. But have we ever wept over it? And that's our Lord. He is willing to defend his flock. He is willing to preserve you and keep you. And today, he still cares about that for you. And so how wonderful a Savior we have. I hope you've seen something into the character of your Lord. Remember what I said at the beginning? You need this? He's defending you. And he's ensuring that you receive a ministry of peace and that the kingdom of heaven is open to you, that when you come in faith and you believe in Jesus Christ, you are justified and you are his children, and he will have nobody stand in the way of delivering you. He'll put him in hell for it. How wonderful he is. So praise him today for his love and respond. Respond to him in faith and thank him that he cares this much for you. You ever stop and think how good he's been to you? Where do you even begin to count all those blessings of his goodness? Here it is today. He has said, when you believe him and trust him and come to him in true faith, depending and believing the gospel, you are saved. And nothing will stand in the way of that for you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for being our defense. Thank you for being our deliverer. Thank you for defending your flock and answering the cry of Psalm 79. May we be a people, O Lord, set free in your love, who love your will, and who are truly cleansed on the inside, that we might be a people who worship you in true faith. Thank you, O Lord, for being our rock, our warrior, our defender. We pray that we would glorify you in our lives. Keep us from this kind of hypocrisy. And let us be a people of truth on the inward parts, as David said, which you love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That's all the time we have for you today. We thank you for listening to us here on Abounding Grace Radio. We hope you'll join us again next time to hear more of God's Word from Pastor Chris. Until then, God bless.